Let's call the meeting to order.
Those are little crunches in the wallet.
People online, we've got a lot of people online. If those that are online, voting members, if you could introduce yourself. Did not hear that.
Well, this is Erin Petty.
Okay.
Ryan Washburn.
Any others? All right, so just go around the table. Cindy, if you could start.
Cindy Saunders, Benton County.
Kevin Crowley, Franklin County.
Chad Monroe, Benton County.
Kyle Sullivan, Human Services.
BJ Olson, Franklin County.
Carla Craft, Humboldt.
John Roche, Franklin County.
Michelle Gerber, Recovery Coalition.
Jason Bliss, Benton County.
Jim Raymond, Franklin County.
All right, so at the beginning of our meeting today, I'd like to take a chair privilege to kind of address the committee. I'm not stepping down, so like. Although we do have to vote for officers next month, and so if anybody would like to chair this committee, I am open to standing aside for that. So next month, be thinking about that. But I wanted to say that one of the things that I really appreciate everybody that's around this table. You have put in a lot of work, a lot of hours. I believe that each of us was selected because of our particular areas of expertise, but also because we're passionate about what we're doing. And sometimes those passions can cause some tension, and I'm certainly not afraid of tension. I think there's great opportunity whenever you are working together. There's a proverb that says that iron sharpens iron, and I think we certainly do that here. And so I'm thankful for that, but it also creates some challenges. And so just want to encourage you and say, we're doing important work. In fact, I was thinking about that, that the work that we're doing now has the potential to affect the next 5 to 10 years, but we're also doing some institutional changes in our community, which has the potential, I think, to affect the next generation and generations forward. And so this is really important work, and we need to get it right. And so it is in that spirit that I think I just want to say thank you to each and every person that's serving. You are doing amazing work, and I am excited to see what is going to come up next. I think we're on the precipice. Thank you. Some pretty significant changes. And so thank you for that. We do have to modify our agenda. It was kind of a generic agenda that looked like we'd be here for about 10 minutes. It's not going to be 10 minutes. We've got a lot on the plate today. On the discussion items, I would like to add Riley Alero and Jill Curtis as Jill Curtis is the architect, and Brandon Ponce is a project manager for the Recovery Center. And so we'd like to hear from them. I have two resolutions that I would like to present to the committee for approval. One resolution having to do with communication, the other having to do with just being good stewards with the finances that we receive from taxpayers. A discussion around county contribution to betterments of the Recovery Center, and a discussion around the Sobering Center. So if there's no objection, I'd like to accept those into the agenda with unanimous consent. So moved. Second. We didn't have to do that, but so those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. So, first order of business, approval of minutes. We received the minutes from our June 13th meeting. Any corrections or comments on the minutes?
Motion to accept the minutes as sent.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. So, as is the case with all of our meetings, the public has the opportunity to address the committee both at the beginning of our session and at the end of our business. Is there anybody who would like to address the committee at this time? Hearing none. Matt, I didn't know if you want to introduce our guests. I know you're online there, or if you have, Riley, if you were introducing our guests, I'm not sure who was going to do the introductions.
I can do it. Can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry if it's really loud. Here, let me see. Is it too loud?
I like it.
Well, I could turn the microphone volume down. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
So, we've had a lot of discussions around, progress at the Recovery Center, and I thought it would be good to have Jill and Riley, and I thought, BJ, did you say Brandon was on? But I didn't see him, unless he's in the room there. But I thought it'd be okay. Yeah, I can't see all the way down in the audience there. But I thought it'd be good for them to be here and be a part of that. And there's been a lot of discussions around betterments, and it kind of ties all of these topics that the chairman just mentioned around county contributions for funding and things like that. And they can really better discuss and tell us what those kind of things mean. And so if we'll just go through that as part of our Recovery Center update, I guess. And so I can say we are expecting to see a schematic floor plan for, I think, what we would hope is a final review, and that should be coming here in the next week or so. I think the 15th was the target date, and as far as I know, we're still on track for that. And then we'll need to review that and get some comments back to our team. And so we're going to be moving that forward. And I let Brandon and Jill, please add what you guys want to add as far as what it would look like. As far as funding goes, what we have been talking about so far in budgetary and what it would mean to have additional dollars in this project.
Yeah, so we appreciate the time to come in and
if you'd come up to your table up here, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. So we appreciate the time to come in and speak with you guys. So I'm Riley Blair, construction manager of Benton County. So I'm working with the team here, Brandon Boss with Boughton, project executive, and we have Jill Kurtz online, the architect. And so our project leadership team was advised that there may be some offer potential funding. And so what we wanted to do was come here and share with everyone here kind of what those additional dollars could do for the project and the impact that it would have on potentially getting some or expanding our scope. So I'll turn it over to Brandon and Jill and yeah, let's
take it. Sure. I provide a little handout just to, so everyone can have something in front of them. And then I think Jill's prepared some renderings just to put some context to what we mean when we talk about, what's included in the project and the base bid, and really trying to set the table for what some additional funding could mean. So I'll just read a little bit from the introduction. First of all, the current budget does allow for the four programs that the team was tasked with providing for the Recovery Center and provide those within code. However, additional funding is needed to provide an optimal facility that meets the need for all stakeholders and provides a healing environment that the community can be the most proud of. Additional funding would greatly increase the success of the facility, reduce odds of reentry, and meet the conditions of excellence that the team established when we set out as a design build team. And so there's a number of betterments we've been discussing, throughout the design of the project. And as we've learned more about the existing facility, we have a long list of 15 plus items But really, for the purposes of this discussion, we wanted to kind of prioritize those and give some context to what maybe the top six items would be in the buckets, if that's okay. And then maybe show some renderings of some differences of, hey, what is kind of base bid look like and what are the potential if there were some additional funding available. Jill, do you want to bring up, maybe if you want to bring up some of the renderings in the background as we go through these. So I'll just start with the first one, just to give the group an idea. I think at this point, likely everyone is aware, it's just the existing building upgrades. So, you know, we could really use some additional funding in the range of 1 to 3 million for a variety of options related to the existing building. And to give some context to that, we're currently renovating a very small portion of the existing building. So our program scope right now includes 40,000 square foot of renovation. But the building is a lot bigger than that. It's a 190,000 square foot building. So there's a lot of opportunities to do things in the future beyond this project. However, we are just upgrading the existing 40,000 square foot of program space. What additional funding could do is it could allow us to upgrade a greater portion of the existing building to ensure that, you know, as you approach the building, it doesn't look like an old building where we've upgraded, you know, a small portion of it for our program, but we have the opportunity to improve the building in a much larger way. Currently, a good portion of our funding is also going to upgrades that are not within the 40,000 square feet. So we're doing fire life safety upgrades in a much larger portion of the building just to ensure that it meets the code minimum to upgrade the 40,000 square foot portion. Is there anything to add to that, Jill, just in terms of what upgrades to the existing building could do?
No, I think I just to add to that, you know, we're doing everything we can with the budget we have. And unfortunately, there's going to be a line in this exterior building that we paint and we take care of, and then we're going to have the rest of the building just be pink because we just don't have the funds to put it towards that, because we need to put it towards program space. So just having that ability to paint the whole building the same color would be huge. And right now we don't have that. So just to kind of go on that exterior piece of this big building we're dealing with.
The second item, and you may have questions to all these when we get through the memo, but I'll just run through these first, is courtyards. So currently in the budget, we have two very basic courtyards. Additional funding would allow for improvements to those courtyards to create an outdoor healing environment and would allow us to add two more courtyards so that there would be one total for each program area, which would be ideal, which greatly enhances the functionality of the programs. Not to mention, studies have shown that outdoor spaces have the most significant potential for increasing healing outcomes. So, and I think for those that can see the screens, Jill's got some renderings of, you know, what, you know, additional funding could help create in terms of courtyards. If you want to show some of those compared to like maybe what a basic, you know, courtyard would look like. Any further detail on those, Jill?
I think, you know, obviously we would try to do better than the bottom picture here, but the reality of our budget is what it is. And we're trying to provide these programs, and having some extra funds to do something like up above would be wonderful in, you know, instead of just the basic fencing area. And also just that the programs right now, if a person wanted to go outside, they may have to wait and be taken there by another staff member. Where if each program could have their own courtyard, as we see, then they can just go out when they feel stressed or feel that need to go out. And right now we don't have that ability. they'll have to wait and be escorted.
The third item of opportunity really is therapeutic environmental enhancements. So we put these in the $500,000 to $1 million range. There are a number of interior design enhancements that could greatly improve the recovery outcomes of the space. These are everything from casework built-in elements to accent features to natural paneling to bring in some natural elements. We have some renderings of some of what that could look like as well, Jill.
Yeah, these are a myriad. So this is like a typical patient room that we, or actually a client room in this situation, because this is a behavioral facility that I have built. This is one of ours. And this is what a budget can constrain you to, right? This is your beds, and this is great. This does what needs to happen. But think about the opportunities that we could create if we had more funding to do something of this nature in a client bedroom. I mean, the healing environment is just, it makes you have more dignity. It makes you feel more whole. And having some funds to do that would be great to enhance that. You know, these are some public spaces. You can imagine, you know, this is a beautiful view. And we don't really have that here, but we can still create great spaces with some interesting architecture and interior design that can happen, but that all takes money. You know, same thing up here. I think the coalition has some interest in library and reading spaces and what that might look like. These are just some entryways and welcoming. So all of these extra elements you're seeing enhance the environment that would help the healing process.
A couple more that we have on the list. Item number four is a secure improvements to the secure drop-off area. So right now we do have a simple covered secure drop-off area. Additional funding would allow us to potentially enclose that and secure the area, which would be ideal as it would provide enhance the privacy, safety, and provide some environmental protections. One of the big items that we've discussed with the provider is single versus double beds in the evaluation and treatment area. Right now, that is not in the base project scope and current budget. So all of our residential treatment areas are double beds, and there's a strong need to go to single beds in at least a portion of the building. That would be about $500,000 to $1.5 million.
Can I make a comment, Ryan?
Yes.
Secure drop-off area needs a closet. So are you thinking of utilizing the current or what was the old ambulance drop-off? Is that what you're referring to?
Right now we're anticipating to be in the entrance to Spalding. So along 10th location. So that's where the program is there. That's where we're planning to have the program is in the Spalding and Labor delivery.
The drop-off area?
The drop-off area would be we're anticipating location to be east of the right on the east side of that main entrance. So it's
so you're going to build a new, for a lack of better words, you're going to fly past the ER room that's already existing and put it somewhere else. Is that what you did?
Well, fortunately, we just weren't able to fit the program that was designed and put together in that existing space where the ambulance, the existing ambulance is close. What's that?
What about that ugly paint standalone building on the ground?
The kind of round one. Is that the one? I think that one was large enough. So,
well, from my standpoint, I've been there, the actual PR room is a great drop-off spot. And again, these are my words for trafficking people, for bringing them in, figure out where they're going to go, all those type of things for them, you know, first 23 hours.
Yeah.
Where are you putting these people? And most of it's there. They close the canopy, close it, it's going to be more positive there.
For that portion, yes, we analyzed, as part of the validation process, we analyzed a number of different options, including multiple locations within the existing building, and determined that it's most cost-effective to put this program at the south end of the building, because that's the newest portion of that entire campus. It's been, it's had major upgrades at three or four different times, and some of the building is a lot more costly to upgrade than the newer portions of the building. So we're putting this program at the south portion of the building, which is where it's falling.
And who decided that?
That was the executive team.
That was based on the evaluations were included in that validation report that's posted on the website. And so that decision was based on economics and feasibility of what part of that facility could be built out to house these four programs. We definitely started with everything being in that old ER and utilizing that piece because that was the most desirable. But in the end, it financially did not pencil out to do it that way.
Maybe let's wait until the proposal that's going to be coming. Keep it on the mind. Yeah.
I have another question. When you say single versus double beds, you don't mean a double bed where two people sleep in the same?
No. Thank you for asking the question. It's a room with two beds in it, so a double occupancy.
All right.
Double occupancy.
This is very good.
Like the image, I think that Jill, one of the images that Jill showed, I know it's hard to see because on these screens, but I think one of those images showed two beds in the room. So that this, you know, the opportunity with some additional funding could guarantee that we could make each of those rooms single bed rooms, which is more ideal for the provider, gives you more flexibility for those that are coming. And then item number six on the list is just emergency power. Right now, the budget does not include emergency power services for some of the essential services like heating and cooling, you know, which would potentially, having emergency power would limit the impact on the facility should there be a loss of power. Not extremely common, but some prefer to have backup power.
What the codes require backup power in this type of buildings?
It depends on the building.
So is it, Brandon, is it fair to assume that all the backup power that the hospital used to have is outdated and those gen sets are going for it?
We're evaluating the gen sets. We have the manufacturers coming out. They've sat idle for so long and they are extremely old. So we do think that there's opportunities to refurbish them, to get them back and running. All of that comes with a cost. And so that's some of what this will, and any additional funding will help guarantee that, yeah, we can spend the money to get upgrading again, provide emergency backup power. It's just a cost that's not currently in place. So that, and the last item, you know, again, it's just additional miscellaneous enhancements. We have a much longer list of opportunities for enhancing the functionality of the building. But these were the ones that we thought were, you know, most critical in terms of providing an ideal facility for the community. Anything else I missed, Jill?
No, I just want to apologize. My audio is having some issues, so.
Any questions on the list that we've provided or what?
A question on an item that's not on the list. When at our last meeting, some of the things that came up that there seemed to be a lot of interest in was commercial kitchen, and I didn't see that listed on here. Is that, because of the cost? It looks like these are all critical, but was that because of cost or?
That is not, that is another item that's on the list, our veterans list. I guess that would fall under item number 7.
Okay.
And there is an opportunity for a commercial kitchen that does have a larger price tag and something that we're evaluating, you know, with Benton County as the potential for additional funding comes about. We do think that there's opportunity to refurbish the existing condition or the existing kitchen rather. A lot of research would just have to go into what portions of that kitchen can be reused, what needs to be replaced. We need to spend a decent amount of time really vetting that to understand the exact cost impact. That is still an item that's on the list and falls under item number 7 on this list.
Thank you.
So shoot for the moon, how much of that?
The commercial kitchen? It could be anywhere from $2 to $3 million.
Brandon, one of the we had a discussion, a short discussion last month at the committee meeting about the betterments list, and you know, as Chief Michael mentioned, the kitchen came up. But one of the things that I think was maybe alluded to but not really honed in on was the timing and the degree of urgency that may be present around potentially making some decisions around this so that you can lock in your scope.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, I brought copies of this, I can share them later when we perhaps have a follow-on discussion in this meeting, but of the betterments list from your validation report. And on that list, there are decision dates, right, for a number of these things. Some are the end of June, some are August, so they kind of vary. But then also on this page, it mentioned that those dates could be subject to changes.
Correct.
Where do we sit right now in terms of being able to potentially, you know, through follow-on discussions and making recommendations, et cetera, and figuring out which of these we think as a committee are the priorities to recommend to the commissioners? Do we have a week? Do we have 2 weeks? Is it the same time frame for all the items? I mean, where do we sit with that schedule?
Good question. And just to clarify that, we can add items at any point in the process up until the day after we turn over the building and it's occupied. It's just the amount of money it costs to incorporate them and the impact on the schedule is different. So if your question is, what is our timeline for adding these items with zero impact to the schedule?
Yes.
It ranges based on the variety of the items. So like the commercial kitchen, I would say like a week from now. You know, if you want a commercial kitchen opened at the same time that is highlighted in, you know, our schedule by the end of 2025, we need to make that decision within the next couple weeks, ideally, because there are a lot of consultants and a lot of design work that needs to be done to get a commercial kitchen operational. That's a very large lift. I'll give you another example, is the double occupancy rooms, the single occupancy rooms versus double occupancy. Based on the schematic design that we're going to review on Monday and have a page turn, we've really simplified that option to the point where we can probably allow a few more weeks or maybe a month to make that decision, because that's a much simpler change than it was when we were looking at different program options. So each option has a little bit different timeline, and we can provide a drop if the task is updated drop dead dates for making decisions with zero impact to the schedule, we could update that within a week.
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah, that's helpful.
Okay.
So if you're opening dates December of 2025, can you prioritize this so that you can actually stay behind and work on some of these things, even when it's open, if need be? If you can't keep up the construction schedule, that's like phrasing that question, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The short answer would be yes. It becomes exponentially more expensive to incorporate any of the betterments on the list once open compared to prior to opening. So either the date has to give more than, or the dollar value has to give, because the renovating an occupied facility is much costlier.
Okay, so if this board voted to equally come up with $12 million, so that you can go ahead with all these things, again, if the hard date's December 2025, can you still open December 2025 and say you haven't got the kitchen done, continue to do the work on it?
As it stands today, if we got notice to proceed with all the things on the list, there's nothing that on that list that I'm aware of that could not be incorporated and still be the December 2025.
Okay.
I think the kitchen's an interesting one in the fact that these folks have to have food day one. And so we would be putting in dollars to do a warming kitchen and provide that for them. That wouldn't need to happen if we were planning on doing a commercial kitchen at the get-go. So we would be spending more money we didn't have to spend.
Except for that, if you put in a commercial kitchen and you outsource your food services, they're still going to have a place for a kitchen. So why not let it be the Taj Mahal in case down the road you're going to run your own kitchen service? Road, so that you're up to par, I guess. The best way to look at that is like, you know, we only have one chance to do this right, like you and I are discussing. So let's do it right now. Let's do it right first time, because it's a byproduct. You may not use the commercial kitchen. You may not use all the beds. Use a lot of them, but let's figure out how to get them.
What Jill is saying right now in our budget, we have a warming kitchen because we know we can get a warming kitchen for $23 million. If you decided right away, hey, I'm going to do the commercial kitchen, then we would question immediately, okay, do you still want to spend the money on the warming kitchen, or do you want to buy other program for that? Because that may not be the best use of dollars, and we would want to make that change quickly. So that the kitchen would be the largest single impact to the planning of the program as it stands.
Sure.
So does your current plan include remodeling what was old dining hall into a mess hall to feed everybody? Is that what the thoughts are?
No, right now our plan is, and Jill, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but our plan that the kitchen and dining area within the existing building is further north of where we're renovating. So we have a new warming kitchen going in. And we have any of our dining and warming kitchen space is within the Spalding building, which is further south, and we're not currently reutilizing the existing kitchen or dining area from the old hospital.
Right. The way these programs work is the RTFs, they don't like to take the clients out of each RTF. And so they would eat their meals, they would have their dining room within their own RTF location. So the food would be brought to the four different RTFs.
That still could be done with
kitchen. It could.
So you said roughly $3 million for a commercial kitchen.
I think that's what we have on our betterment list, and
that's more than that.
I think it's 3.9.
3.9.
Yeah, I was going to pass these out later. I'll just pass them around.
That includes the kitchen moving. I guess that firewall would have to come back. All of the electrical, all of the HVAC.
There's a lot of details associated with that. We think we're hopeful that the 3.9 number is high. That's largely based on, you know, what it's costing to build a new commercial kitchens for now. Since we've developed that list, we've done more research with our MEP trades and determined that a lot of the electrical and mechanical infrastructure for the existing kitchen could actually be reused, which is a substantial portion of the cost. What we don't know is how much of the equipment can be reused. We need to get a specialty vendor in there and a specialty consultant. The more of that kitchen we can reuse, the less that better will be.
There's no objection from the committee. Is somebody from the public would like to ask a question?
The answer is, I was curious about retrofitting the old kitchen, but it's a brand new kitchen you're talking about, and the footprint of the building
Yeah, this budget was really, you know, based on building a kitchen within any shell space. So, and we thought the likelihood of reusing that kitchen was low. Since the validation report and discussing more with our consultants and our team, we do think that's actually pretty viable and could shave a you know, substantial portion off this $3.9 million loan.
So BJ, I'd like to make a motion.
Is it related to expenditures? Maybe we could wait till that comes up on the agenda. Is that all right?
Well, it's directly connected to all this.
Sure.
We're talking about dollars and cents.
Yeah.
And what you can get for your dollar, what we have for dollars now, and if we cut loose with some more money, where we could do.
Correct.
Seems to me to be appropriate.
Sure. The betterment is on the agenda later in the meeting, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
The other? Yes. Sure.
It's like you have to see the document. Could you clarify the single versus double occupancy for the amount? Is that just to bring one unit up to single occupancy or all four units?
That is to, so the on the amount on the betterment list?
Yeah.
So, let's see.
Says convert approximately 8 to 10 rooms to single occupancy. So that would mean doubling basically from the 8 rooms to 16 rooms.
Right. We have two different betterments on the list. One is to do 8 to 10 rooms. And that is just under $1 million. The other is all 32 rooms, and that's 2.3. And this was based on the program validation. What we're doing now is, as we update, you know, the design and go through those revisions, the cost of the betterments, you know, are different. And in some cases, the single patient rooms has become more efficient. So we think they can improve on these dollars.
Okay. My calculations are, it's high end, 12 million. Low end, 10 million.
To do everything on this list.
I have everything on this list at 8.2, and that's without the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm talking to Abby.
Yeah, yeah.
As a person. So that's.
It's about right.
About 12.
At the high end of the estimates.
At the high end, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't.
Right,
correct.
So I guess along those lines, and thinking about the future discussion, maybe setting stage for it, that, you know, let's say that it wasn't 12 million. Let's say that it was 10 million or 9 million or, you know, something like that. And you all need, in the next couple of weeks, a list of what is to be done for, because if it's not everything on this list, if it's a selection of it, it is prioritized based on the committee and the commissioner's desires and recommendations, you need to know. But understanding that the kitchen may be the long pole, and I heard you say 1 week, and then I heard you say maybe 2 weeks. Like that's the outside of when you could know. Like, if we were to hypothetically set a goal for ourselves to be able to get you that prioritized list, it sounds like you would want that to be 2 weeks from now, not a month from now, especially if the kitchen were on the list.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Quick, and this is maybe for Matt online. I know there's been talk about a bi-county commissioner meeting. Do you know, is anything on the books yet?
No, there's nothing on the books yet.
But would this be something that might?
I mean, I think ultimately, depending on what comes out of this meeting here, I think it needs to happen. And I think our commissioners are okay with doing that. It's just, you know, they've had a shakeup over there and getting that kind of thing scheduled is challenging sometimes. So trying to get all six commissioners in the room at the same time.
I think that's a great idea. Hypothetically, in the future, in the next hour and a half, we were to make a motion from this committee to the commissioners around a decision in these dollars, that does not require them to all get together in order to move it forward. I think it would be great if they did, but that message being communicated to those commissioners that this committee believes that they ought to prioritize this, because even if they're all down to get together and super excited about it, the prospect of that coming together in 2 weeks, I think is pretty unlikely.
So Kyle, if it's helpful, the over there gang, which is Franklin County Commissions, our side of the coalition is meeting with them Wednesday in a workshop setting.
Yeah.
You know me, I'm not fearful. We'll force that to take things.
Yeah, because I don't know, I just kind of sense in the feel of the room is, everyone has a wish list, and my wish list would include all of this. But that's a big price tag. And so I think, you know, it's commissioner's responsibility to make fiscally sound decisions, and that's hard to do without information. And so I think that's great that meeting is going to happen, because you start talking numbers like that. And I agree, we got one shot to do this right. We want to do it right. But
the reality is we have the bunch to.
Yeah.
Well, I would jump off of what Kyle said there is, you know, everybody has an opinion on some of these betterments are, you know, hey, these are obvious. We really should try to find a way to get the building to look the same. And we should try to find a way to have a secure intake that meets the needs of the law enforcement and fire community. But there's a lot of debate back and forth on whether or not all of the rooms should be single rooms. And I hear opinions from both sides as to what, and so we need to, you know, I mean, there can be a recommendation on that, but, and I think maybe it would be good. And I don't know if we have the time for that, because I hear there's a lot of difference of opinion about, you know, I think a lot of people all agree, hey, on the ENT side of it, which is the detox piece, those should all be single rooms, but there's debate back and forth on the residential and patient, whether those should be double or single rooms. And so I don't know exactly how to where to say that is that at some point those decisions need to be made, and maybe there should be a, you know, does this committee want to say these are the ones we believe are important? Because I know there are people with different opinions sitting in that room right now. And so, and there's different reasons for why those should be done, should or should not be done. So are we going to make a motion on which of these improvements we recommend, or does everyone unanimously agree that it's all of them? And then I'll add to that is that.
I mean, I think with all due respect, BJ, to the agenda adjustment, I mean, to answer Matt's question right there, I think it's worth maybe talking about at least the substance of the motion that it felt to me like Jim was about to make, and which I was going to make a version of anyway, and it, because it goes along with a potential second motion, which I think speaks to what you're getting at, Matt. So I'll skip the precise wording of the first motion. I won't make it yet, but it's going to be that, you know, we recommend to the commissioners that we, in an equitable, balanced way across the counties, allocate a whole bunch of money. You know, maybe $10 million is the number that we say that goes out there. I didn't, you know,
you're misreading me.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I'm 6 million.
Yeah. So he's 12 million. So he's all, and I'll play poker with the fair frame. Right. But so we're not making that motion yet, but my second motion, Matt, was going to be, you know, if we didn't have time today to sit here for 3 hours and have the conversation about coming to consensus on which of these betterments we would recommend for that $10 or $12 million, maybe we form a rapid tiger team ad hoc committee with right people, representatives from this committee from Benton and Franklin County, the right, who in the next week can come together, and that we, as per our bylaws, have an emergency meeting next week to review their results, vote on them, agree with them, so that motion can go forward to the commissioners. I feel like that's where we're at. I mean, this is the rubber meets the roll, holy crap inflection point time. And I think waiting for a month for this committee to kind of sit on it, figure it out, isn't going to work. So maybe that's the right way to do it. That only makes sense, of course, if the first motion passes, because then word goes to the commissioners that that motion is passed, that we all agree that the tax revenue should be spent in this way on this committee, and we'll be following up with you with specific recommendations in a very short period of time.
And so I appreciate, I want to add, go ahead, Sheriff.
I said, and the RCW says you can do that.
Right. And I do want to make sure everyone understands that about $5.9 million of Benton County's behavioral health sales tax is already going to be allocated to this just to meet that baseline budget. So we have put, we will be putting a significant amount of money just to get the base program. So while this committee may be able to say, hey, we want $12 million, six from each side, financially, Benton County is already going to be spending a huge portion of the money it has from that sales tax just to get to the base program.
And I, go ahead.
Yeah, just so I guess just a question that I think is important too. So is Franklin County putting money in for the baseline programs also, or is Franklin County just adding for the departments?
So originally, Benton County said that we were going to fund the project, and we have not asked Franklin County to contribute anything, but there is a movement from some citizens on that side to say, hey, we understand that this project could be better if there was additional money. And so they have been talking about that. And I know they've been talking with the sheriff. And so that's where this is coming from. It's that there are things that could be added now that would make the overall project better with some participation from Franklin County. But Benton County is not officially asking for that. That's a movement by Franklin County citizens and some members of this committee.
Matt, I think it's important to understand that I was unclear on this, up until yesterday, even though I thought I knew, I thought you had spoken to this and shared in past meetings about the portion of the behavioral health sales tax on the Benton County side that had been allocated to this project. And, my recollection was that it had been earmarked, but maybe not yet dispersed against a particular bucket of the initial build cost. And what I'm hearing you say, though, is that that's not actually true, that 5.9 million from the sales tax revenue is incorporated into the budget to make up that 23 million base cost. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct. And so now that amount is, just what we're currently at. Obviously, as we get to the final price that the team gives us, that's going to fluctuate, but we were intending about that much. It could go up a little, could go down a little, ultimately depending on what the final guaranteed maximum price ends up being. But we're going to be contributing somewhere around that much out of that fund just to get to this base budget. Now, that doesn't mean there couldn't be more, and we've been discussing, there's opioid settlement dollars that have come in, and so we've been discussing which of those betterments could Benton County contribute some additional dollars to buy. We're talking about potentially doing some work outside of this, what the project team is doing, to do some of those fire life safety upgrades that Brandon was talking about that are outside the project scope, so that those would not be in the budget, and we could use those dollars to do one of the betterments. So we've been having discussions like that to try to get more money into the base project any way that we can.
So I got to make one more comment. Surprises you. But I think the last time I checked, we're at 8.9 million in Franklin County of actual sales tax that's been brought in. So I'm going to assume, even though we started earlier than Benton County, that you're going to have that. And every quarter those numbers grow. So I got a like a D minus calculator at college, but it's not like the money's not going to stop coming, and you're not going to be able to utilize the money unless the damn thing's done right the first time.
That's right.
So why don't we just take one problem at a time, and let's get the building done, everybody start looking for raising money and all the other things, or opioid money and all those type of, to prepare for the next phase, once the buildings. Because that's got to be done before you get to money. And in the meantime, you're going to be collecting more mental health sales tax money that somewhere along the line, we should be able to figure that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying, Sheriff, but we do have, you know, on the Benton County side, we do have ongoing expenses coming out of that fund. So, and we're also looking at adding the field responder program that will come out of that fund. And so we just, could we get there potentially? I mean, I haven't done all the long-term numbers on that yet, but there's definitely some opportunity for us to add more dollars to that. I mean, if you threw out 6 million, I couldn't tell you right now today if that was something we could do or not, but.
That doesn't stop making the motion.
No, it doesn't.
This is what the board desires, is what we think you should be doing in that.
No, absolutely not.
And I think it's, you know, important too, that, because I don't know, it wasn't widely known enough for me to have clear facts on it as of yesterday. So I don't know that, you know, our Franklin County commissioners are aware of it, that, you know, in fact, the Benton County has already, you know, begun tapping into those funds to ensure that things are built out here. And I know that there's been conversation about equity. You know, there's lots of different buckets of money that people have tirelessly worked to capture for purposes of making this happen. But those sales tax buckets are, from my perspective, a little bit unique, because they came about as a result of, you know, the commissioners from both counties coming together after a lot of community rallying around this issue in a pretty unprecedented way for those commissioners to vote unanimously to do that. And with an eye towards that funding enabling this recovery center. And so I think it's really appropriate for those funds to be used to get us over the line. And the fact that Benton County has already moved in that direction to make sure that the base build is in place is significant. And how we might frame up a motion to go to both sets of county commissioners, but that helps, you know, in the conversation we're going to have next Wednesday with the Franklin County commissioners to say, hey, yes, now is the time to break loose those funds so that we can do these specific things that are not going to get done otherwise. I feel like that's how, at least that's how I'm thinking about it.
And John, and I think maybe this, and I'm not a voting member, but I think this might be just something that for the committee to consider, is maybe rather than setting a dollar amount on it, the smarter move is to say, here are the betterments on this list that we feel are important enough that the county should fund. And if the committee has a thought on, you know, how that distribution is done or something like that, that way, if you're not talking about limiting, these are the things that are important enough to us that the committee thinks that they should be funded by the commissioners, and that gives them something to look at and work from, which is going to come to the same dollar amount anyway. You know, the sheriff is adding it up, and even though he has a D, I think he's pretty close. So if it, you know, it may end up being 12 million, but these are the priorities for us rather than just the dollar amount that the committee thinks we should throw at the project.
Yeah, I like that.
Any other questions for our guests? All right, hearing none, I'm willing to move that betterments item up the list, and we can. Members would like to present a motion related to that. This would be a good time to do that.
I move that we adopt the list as it is and let the construction people prioritize them for us. And move that there be a 50-50 split of the 12 million or not to exceed 12 million. Send a clear message back to full sense of commissioners. That's what this board wants in order to get this project up, running, going, and doing it right the first time. Not saying it's been told, saying that just might be what we have to pay to get it done, to get it down right. Let's just put it out there now. Like I say, we have almost 9 million. We're into our second quarter. We're not even seeing yet what's coming in. And I'm sure the same's for bid accounting.
Yeah, we're around roughly 11. Obviously, that the 5.9 that I spoke about is included in that number. So there is some additional dollars there, even with the upcoming field responder program. So.
Eric, can I ask a clarifying question about your motion? This list doesn't have the commercial kitchen on it, but it sounds like you were a favor.
I put number 8 commercial kitchen on mine.
And the commercial kitchen was on the betterments list. I believe that's what the sheriff's saying is the betterments list that's there.
Yeah, but the betterments list has a lot of other stuff on it too. I mean, perhaps it's the memo, you know, the list of the July 11th memo.
Before we get into discussion, there's a motion. Does somebody want to read the motion? You have it.
So for the betterments, I am. Put off a list as this is that there'd be a split of the.
Anybody want to second that?
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved in second. Okay. Everybody understand the motion?
No, I think we're discussing. I think are we in discussion of the motion? I think I feel that this motion has particular importance to get right in that from a language perspective in that. You know, I think it's going to specifically flow over to the commissioners and to the Franklin County commissioners in advance of the Wednesday discussion. I want to make sure there's no ambiguity about what we're recommending. And I want to maybe think a little bit about Matt's suggestion that we leave the dollar amount out of it. So what I would consider amending it to, Sheriff, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, is that we make a motion, we amend the motion to recommend to both sets of commissioners that we use tax revenue dollars to the best of our ability to add all of the betterments listed on Boughton's July 11th memo with the potential addition of the commercial kitchen, which is not on the list. And that the motion should acknowledge Benton County's existing commitment of $5.9 million of that tax funding to meet the base amount. And that, so that, I think that's my amendment right now. Any notion of a 50-50 split, put it out there, I think needs to at least recognize that that 5.9 million has already been spent out of Benton's tax revenue fund. Otherwise, it may turn it into a non-starter.
You know what happened? He said that they're getting ready to commit that.
But it's spoken for to meet the base bill, though. I mean, they're.
Well, then, Martin, then that should be changed then, because both sides of the river should be putting in money to meet those base requirements.
I mean, I think that's it.
You don't get there unless you go, no, this board's willing to take the risk, if you will, that each of us need to put in 6 million and we need to work towards shaving those costs, obviously. But I,
John, yeah, if I can,
yeah,
I don't know how important it is. I mean, I appreciate you wanting to acknowledge that. I don't know how important it is because back, you know, what it was a year and a half or so ago when the two boards met, Benton County committed to deliver the base project. And I think because we made that commitment, we understand that we had to take on some of those costs and those dollars to make sure that this base project came to be. And so I think it's totally fine to recommend that the betterments list be split. If that's what the committee wants to do, that the betterments list be split 50-50. I don't see a problem with that. We knew that there was going to be some local dollar contribution going into this to meet that project goal. We were hopeful not, but the cost just kept going up and up and up. And we have that commitment to this community to deliver that base project. And I think we're comfortable with that.
All right. Then what did I say from an vendor? I think it still stands, but. Yeah, can I?
Consider amending the full subsidy for share tax revenue dollars to add on potential commercial kitchen.
The memo, the memo of July 11th.
Not to exceed 6 million.
No, because this is the betterments list. So, yeah, I think there's two documents that we're throwing around.
Is that in your original motion, but not to exceed 6 million?
Each,
yeah.
So, Brandon, I hate to put you on the spot, but I got a point blank question.
Hold on a second. We have a proposed amendment. We need to have a second and a vote before.
Jim made the original motion, so Jim would have to amend it.
No, actually, the motion has been proposed, has been seconded. There's a proposed amendment. The proposed amendment needs to either be seconded or tabled.
And I actually think that the only difference between what I amended versus.
Okay, before we have discussion.
Was this, well, I'm clarifying the.
Before we have discussion, there's an amendment that's been made, it needs to either be seconded or withdrawn.
Can I hear the language one more time?
Consider amending to recommend both as a commissioner that we use tax revenue dollars to add all of the betterments memo, potential and commercial kitchen, which is not currently.
Sheriff, would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Well, so you're not putting the 6 million in there.
That's in your original. That's in your original.
Yeah.
So we're just adding this language.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Careful on me.
All right.
Can we just discuss one thing real quick before we vote on that? I just want to be clear that that is our recommendation. Is that an all in or out? I wouldn't want it to go to the commissioners as it's say yes or no. So would it behoove us to have a plan? Plan A is yes, we'd like all. But if you don't want to be all in, could we have a plan? Could we prepare a plan B that says these items are our priority at a lesser amount?
I could be mistaken on this, but I don't think I am. We're making a recommendation to commissioners. Commissioners could end up doing whatever they want to anyway. So I don't know that. I think that kind of language might confuse the issue. Like if we're making a recommendation.
I understand, but as an advisory board, I think I would want to hear as a commissioner, what do you guys think is the priorities here? If we don't want to go.
I think that's the second. We're going to come to that in a second. I think we're going to talk about a group that might prioritize.
So I move we suspend discussion and take the vote.
The vote's been called. Any objection? Okay, so the first thing we're voting on is the amendment to the original motion. Do you need that to be read out again? Okay, any discussion on that? All right, those in favor of the amendment, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, second, we're now voting on the amended motion. Do you want that read out?
Yes.
Yes. You're earning your keep today.
So the open recommend both as commissioner that we use tax revenue dollars to betterments with potential for the commercial kitchen, which is not currently on the should include the 5.9.
No. I think the question was what sort of got left out of Sheriff Raymond's original memo was up to $12 million.
Yes, okay.
So in aggregate.
Off the list as is the with a 50-50 split of up to 12.
You need to identify him, maybe not, but you need to identify that's the July 11th memo.
I think she said that, didn't she?
When you said memo, I don't know if it's the July 11th. Maybe that doesn't matter.
I think it does matter, yes, because there's multiple of these lists floating out. This was prioritized specifically for purposes of this discussion today, right? So. Okay.
All right. Any discussion on the amended motion?
I guess just similarity that we're still going to have a subgroup that's going to embed this.
Yeah, and, that'll be the next
discussion. To make sure that we're happy for the vote.
We have to do these things in order, I guess.
All right. The motion has been read out. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. So next order of business, I think, is the matter of prioritizing the betterments. Yes.
So I have some question. Brandon, I appreciate the time that you and your team has taken to prepare this document. Is it fair to assume before this formally goes to the commissioners, that all of your betterments listed on here, in addition to the commercial kitchen, the Bowden will not exceed $12,000 to make that happen? $12 million.
Correct.
Okay.
You're going to get your money back, correct?
So I didn't raise it as a motion, but I raised it as a topic earlier. So I guess now that we've had this vigorous discussion and the initial motion has passed, I actually think that because of what we just passed, that ad hoc committee, maybe there's slightly less anxiety and urgency and nervousness around it, because we just passed a recommendation that our commissioners do it all, right? But to your point, the plan B and the, you know, what if, I mean, I think even the discussion about the beds, you know, and I mean, I've had some conversations about that with different folks, and that's it for me. You know, I feel like the prioritization should be biased towards program availability and capacity. Like for me, being able to serve as many people as possible out of the gate is priority number one. So if I were on that committee, that's how I would be prioritizing. I know people have different priorities. But I think that committee, to be able to still come together in a couple of weeks and have an amended list of these that reflects the committee's input, still seems like an absolutely necessary and good thing to do, even in light of our very ambitious price tag that we put on that recommendation to the commissioners.
I think that it needs to have, because like I said, there's been so many different discussions and so many different reasons to do, you know, the single versus double beds in certain areas and things like that. There's been a lot of back and forth on why those are important, and it would be good from this committee to say, you know, hey, because I don't want to just throw money at something and then everybody goes, well, why did you do that? Double beds would have been better in this situation. And so I think it would be good to have that formal recommendation from this group or a subgroup of this group to say, these are the things that we think you should, you know, we think you should do all the betterments, but maybe there's the ones that we can pare it back. Now it's a lot easier to pare it back from the full list than it is to keep adding to it, I guess. So I think it would be important to have that discussion.
So BJ, what do you think is the right type of composition to be thinking about for this? It is an ad hoc subcommittee. It'll go away in a month, right? But I mean, I think there's some subcommittee aspects. It'd be the right to have, like, you know, a couple perspectives, maybe the substance abuse and mental health committee representation. But also, I think, given what we're doing right here, making sure that we have kind of balanced representation from both counties would make sense too.
And I would add that our current contractor should be a part of that.
Absolutely. Well. Yeah.
Because we need additional information.
Well, you got to have some single beds, because here's what happens. if you put some people together, they get long screwdrivers and drive it through the bed part, God, he'll.
That's the intent of having.
Yeah.
The therapeutic decision makers there, because they know what program needs to happen.
So some staple bed, not enough.
A lot of, we're gonna get into that conversation about all of these benefits.
Before we continue discussion, maybe it would be appropriate to make a motion.
For ad hoc committee?
I make a motion to form an ad hoc committee. Made up of representatives of Benton and Franklin County of the, current service provider, comprehensive. The coalition and the, mental health and substance use subcommittees. To discuss, assess, and validate a prioritized. List of the betterments, to further inform. The commissioners, as they discern what they want to do with the tax money. Too many words, but. You got it though, right? I mean, that was goal.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I would just like to add that the contractor could be a part of those conversations.
Sure.
And again, Brandon, what did you say is a realistic? Timeframe. That this information needs to be settled into you guys.
To not impact the schedule at all, right? At 2 weeks. But just to.
Quick turnaround, yeah.
Yeah, to give you an idea, at this phase of the design, there's meetings that are held every week with multiple stakeholders. Providing input to progress that design, and any changes that occur after those meetings just. Cause you to have to redo a lot of that, so. Time is of the essence, if we want to hold the schedule.
We do.
I'm wondering if an amendment to add a person who will chair this ad hoc committee makes sense, because if. We make no one responsible for getting these people together. Not get them together.
Good idea.
And anybody want to volunteer?
I can. I'll do it.
Thank you. So, I move that we add, Becky is the chair of this ad hoc committee.
Second.
Okay.
Tears.
Huh?
Volunteers.
I'll probably send out communication to the entire advisory board, because there's folks not here today.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so we're voting on the amendment to add, Rebecca is the. Chair of this ad hoc committee, any discussion on that? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. Now we're voting on the. Original motion with the amendment, and if you don't mind reading that out for us, that would be great.
I'm sure to do for it, I have a committee. Being girl. Advisory committee. Current service provider, mental health. And it's. And provide an update to commissioners.
Motion's been read out, any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, all right. Was. That was fun, all right. Moving on, I have two resolutions that, after some conversations between our, meetings. I felt like, and this is the prerogative of the chair,
Excuse me, before Brandon leaves.
Yes.
So statement?
Sure.
We, the coalition is ready to pay for the indoor fitness area. Can consider that done. And if you need something in writing and tell us when you need the funds, we are ready.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So the resolutions, one of them is a resolution on the shared responsibility of stewardship with Columbia Valley Center for Recovery, and then a resolution on enhancing communication transparency. And ultimately, these two resolutions are just reaffirmations of what we're already doing. It's not that we haven't been doing this, but as a group, sometimes, you know, things get confusing and convoluted. And so just a reaffirmation of these things. I'm going to create confusion and send them both directions. I will go ahead and read out the stewardship one since it relates to the motion that just passed. Title of resolution is resolution emphasizing shared responsibility and stewardship of the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery. Whereas Benton Franklin Behavioral Health Advisory Committee is dedicated to improving the behavioral health services within Benton and Franklin counties. And actually, if somebody could provide that to our secretary, that'd be great. Whereas the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery represents a critical initiative aimed at providing comprehensive behavioral health services to the community of both counties, and whereas Benton County is the official owner of the property housing the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery, and whereas the resources provided by the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery are intended for the collective benefit of both Benton and Franklin counties, and whereas the funding for Columbia Valley Center for Recovery and other related initiatives come from taxpayer dollars, state, county funds, and grants, and whereas the Benton Franklin County Advisory Committee recognizes its obligation to be good stewards of these resources and to ensure that all initiatives and services recommended by this committee benefit both counties collectively. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Benton Franklin Behavioral Health Advisory Committee reaffirms that the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery facility, though officially owned by Benton County, serves both Benton and Franklin counties equally. The resources and services provided by the facility are to be utilized for the benefit of all residents in both counties. The committee acknowledges its responsibility to recommend utilization of taxpayer dollars, state and county funds and grants with the highest level of integrity and accountability. All recommendations for expenditures and resource allocation shall be made with the collective benefit of both counties in mind. The committee commits to ensuring that the services provided by the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery are accessible to all residents, Benton and Franklin counties. Efforts will be made to redress any barriers to access and promote availability of services to both counties. Recommendations regarding operation and funding and development of Columbia Valley Center for Recovery, as well as other initiatives recommended by this committee, shall be made collaboratively with input and consideration from both representatives from Benton and Franklin counties through this committee, which has been established for that purpose. The committee shall maintain transparency in its operations, including recommendations on allocations of funds and the implement of services, regular reports of the staffs at Columbia Valley Center for Recovery, and other initiatives shall be provided to both Benton and Franklin County commissioners and made available for the public. The committee is committed to the long-term success and sustainability of the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery. This includes ongoing evaluation of services, continuous improvements and efforts, and proactive engagement with the stakeholders from both counties. And the principles of shared responsibility and stewardship of public funds, equitable access, collaboration and decision-making, transparency, accountability shall apply to all initiatives and services recommended by the Ben Franklin Behavioral Health Advisory Committee. Be it further resolved that this resolution shall take effect immediately. upon adoption, and the committee shall take all necessary steps to implement these principles in its operations and decision-making process. First of all, is there anyone with a second this resolution?
I second.
Resolutions were presented and seconded. Any discussion? All right, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Jason, if you don't mind saying this. Yeah. Okay. Second resolution. Resolution to enhance communication transparency within the Ben Franklin Behavioral Health Advisory Committee. Whereas Ben Franklin Behavioral Health Advisory Committee is dedicated to improving behavioral health services within the Ben Franklin counties. Whereas the effective development, implementation, and improvement of those services require clear and consistent communication among committee members, stakeholders, and the public. Whereas complex collaborative environment with numerous stakeholder groups and inadequate communication has in time led to confusion regarding the decision-making process and the committee's interactions with outside entities and reports to Benton Franklin County Commissioners. Whereas it is vital for the success of Columbia Valley Center for Recovery and other initiatives that all parties are well-informed and aligned on goals, progress, and decisions. Now, therefore, be it resolved, Franklin Behavioral Health Advisory Committee shall commit to maintaining regular communication with all committee members, stakeholders, and the public. This includes, but is not limited to, continuing to provide timely updates on project progress, decisions, and relevant development, and alerts and of updates. Sorry, getting a bit tongue-tied. All decisions made by the committee have been and shall be clearly documented and made accessible to all relevant parties. This documentation will include rationale behind each decision, entities involved, and expected outcomes. The committee shall provide scheduled updates to the Benton Franklin County Commissioners. These updates will include comprehensive reports on status of ongoing projects, financial updates, and any challenges or changes in project plans. The committee shall establish a standardized process for interacting with outside entities. This process will ensure all communications are transparent and that they agree that any agreements or collaborations are documented and shared with the committee and relevant stakeholders. Regular public meetings, which we are doing today, will continue, and all forums shall be held to engage with community, provide updates, gather feedback. Public input will be considered in the decision-making process to ensure that the services provided meet community needs. Subcommittees will provide regular reports to the full committee detailing their activities, decisions, recommendations. These reports will be included in the committee's meeting minutes and made available to the public. The committee shall utilize various communication tools, including email, newsletters, dedicated webpage, and social media to disseminate information widely and ensure that all interested parties are kept informed. Be it further resolved that the resolution shall take effect immediately upon adoption, and the committee shall take all necessary steps to implement these communication enhancements promptly. Everyone, back to you.
I'll second your motion, and I have discussion just real quick about number three. The committee shall provide scheduled updates to the Benton and Franklin County Commissioners. I'm 100% for it. I 100% think it needs to happen. For the most part, to my knowledge, it has been happening in Benton County. For various different people that I've heard from, it has not always been the case in Franklin County and fluidly in Franklin County. If we're going to vote on this, and again, I 100% support it and think it should, Jim, perhaps you can offer some input. What needs to be the mechanism so this happens on a regular basis to the Franklin County Commissioners? Who needs to be responsible for that? If we're going to adopt this and say this is going to happen, who's going to take on the responsibility to see to it that everything is clearly conveyed to the Franklin County Commissioners?
So BJ can take that and put it in a slide to say, when he talks next week, saying, look, people think you guys are dropping the ball. Thus, why so? You've seen some of the comments in the presentation. But at the same time, just so you have an understanding, is And this is my belief too. I believe both sets of commissioners dropped the ball and failed to meet regularly on these topics, and that's why there's so much confusion. This whole thing that we just talked about, reference to 5 million, 12 million, 10. I was approached by one of our commissioners and said, who are the voting members on your board and who are advisory, and why would I hand over 5 million for a building I don't own? So I said, well, I can pretty much explain all that to you. So there's just right now, with the amount of money flowing, all the critical things that need to be done, and you sum it up this way, is commissioners aren't talking to each other, and when they do talk to each other, Didier goes and sees Will, and they decide how things are going to be. It used to be Brad used to go see Jerome, and they decide how things are. They need to come together under one roof and get back to basics of, well, let's do this together. Will, just like Matt said, we'll take care of this and this, the building, and, take ownership responsibility. And they don't communicate about the simplest thing. The buildings were bought with legislative money and grants and American Rescue Funds. Well, I don't know about you, but I paid for them and all those taxes too. So at the end of the day, the buildings belong to the people. And they need to start thinking in those ways of how does it best impact the entire communities. Been to that, Franklin. And how are we going to best spend the money? The only way you're going to do that is by getting three of them together on a regular basis.
And I would love to see the same information Benton County gets, Franklin County gets. So there's like the same presentation and a set frequency, so that there's none of this. They have more information than we have. That's where they get the same presentation to both counties. And I don't know if that means that Matt's information or the project updates need to flow back to this advisory board, and that we have someone, maybe our communication subgroup is devoted to present those regularly to both county commissioners.
Yeah, I think I have some ideas, and it is partly my responsibility as the chair to be able to do that. I was operating under some assumptions that the channels of communication were open, but
yeah, well, it's a new day, so
yeah.
Just on the horizon, we are going to be putting together a presentation probably end of August timeframe, which would be available then to present to any of the entities, whether it's county commissioners, city, so on and so forth, that sort of updates where we're at today, what we've done so far, that sort of thing. I think in terms of the monthly meetings, the minutes are awesome. And so maybe just a extra effort in terms of putting those minutes in front of the county commissioners and say, hey, read this. This is what we did this month.
I think bullet points.
And we have one commissioner that's made a request that the Franklin County, someone from the Franklin County contingency comes and tells them what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think it matters who does it. I think what matters is the content.
Correct.
And I don't think it has to be monthly. Time flies.
Sure.
I think quarterly is probably
a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like maybe the because there's a few different dimensions of this, and that it's a good, because the board chair was BJ currently, though he's lobbying to be replaced, it sounds like, has an explicit responsibility spelled out in the bylaws to update these boards. But we bylaws can be modified too. We have a communications committee. The level of, I think, communication that should be expected and re-baselined now that we're about to start construction is going to go up. People are going to want to know what's going on. So maybe there's a conversation with you and this and the communications committee to propose a new regimen, a new cadence with the bodies, whether it's the first and foremost the commissions, but maybe also the city councils. I know that Matt has made those rounds as well. and bring it back to the larger committee, you know, next month or sometime to.
So whatever presentation is given to our commissioners next week, because literally they don't know what board's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who has what responsibility. So we're going to educate them on that. But I am also will be with Kevin later on in August going, okay, this is the Franklin County side of the pie now. And you have to go back to the very beginning when all the commissioners came together. Agreement was start collecting the taxes. We'll use it for A, B, and C. And A, B, and C was we'll use the money for the programming, all those type of things. Benton County said we'll take care of the building and so on because we want to be so that it was all great and dandy. And then look, it's the Franklin County Commissioner.
They shouldn't last about.
Yeah. They forgot.
Hopefully.
We have to relearn them.
Strike that from the minutes.
And for Bauman, he's probably learned.
Yes.
And so that's why, yeah. And so that's how we got where we got. Those two boards need to come together on quarterly basis or whatever now that this thing's fired up. Talking to each other, quit having in an open public environment, quit having side office deals.
All right, in the interest of time, any important conversation on this resolution?
Yes. One more thing.
Yes.
Jim, I have been told that some of people in Franklin County think the coalition is a decision maker. We are non-voting.
Yeah.
We're not.
That's what we're gonna clarify that.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Because you're right.
Yeah, and we do our own thing, but here we have no vote.
All right. Those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No opposition. Both resolutions carry with unanimous consent. An update on the sobering center. I'm sad to say that there is no contract for the sobering center yet. Priscilla, if you want to share anything, that would be fine. I make a commitment to talking with the commissioners about this. Like, we don't currently have a county administrator, so like, how do we get this moving so that it doesn't continue to stall and be languished? There was a suggestion that the committee reaffirm that we want to do the temporary sobering center. And I'm open to that as a suggestion or a motion. But before we do that, if you have anything, the quick, like,
yeah, it's a great
2 minute elevator speech.
We're gonna say that last month, we kind of need to advance the discussion meeting with the city of Pasco on time. That's it.
What was that meeting?
For votes.
Oh.
The city of votes.
Yeah.
July 29th.
So you have or you have one scheduled?
We have one scheduled for July 29th with the city of Pasco.
So they tried to go forward with opening the centers and city of Pasco said, well, you got some response. So.
So the July 29th meeting, is it anticipated that they will clearly outline everything that they expect for it to be able to open that?
So is Franklin County holding the decision on the contract at this point?
I don't think it's advanced.
So
limbo.
It's in limbo.
Yeah. Mike Hammond.
Yeah. Presumably, yes.
Mike presumably, yeah.
Who did he share it with?
I,
the Franklin County side.
I tried.
There was a whole presentation and then they said they were going to take it back. So they wanted to understand where the difference in funds was. I think it was 800,000 to 1.1. And they were kind of going back and forth on which one is necessary and how do we get this. And then there was some kickback or pushback from having people come to Franklin County
and be so close to the courthouse, why would we want so many people there who may have issues? And I think the issue we need to get over is that they're already.
Well, you have to tell Clint Duty or that, because Clint Duty is the one to put the wrench there. His mama couldn't get in the courthouse and felt unsafe, so he doesn't want, he didn't want the homeless and the intoxicated laying around the courthouse. Well, that's existed for about three decades.
Well, so I guess the question I have too, after this meeting with City of Pasco, codes, where you can be submitting your plan of building, what's the next step?
We don't need to have a contract, that's what we're saying. We gotta work on the contract, right?
Right, that needs to be addressed, yes.
Yeah.
Which is why I said we needed to reaffirm so that this board can build to both boards and don't always still want a, and you need to capitalize it, temporary sobering center, until this all gets built out here. You know, boards either on their own with their alert sobering center, or, you know, moving, or whatever takes place down the road, this is just temporary.
Can I?
Okay, before we move too far, do we want to make a motion to that?
I do.
Okay, Jim, go for it.
Move that we make a motion to reaffirm that we are in favor of a temporary sobering center of our, that is, law is, everything. And no more than a year at a time.
For second?
All seconded, but I have a lot of buts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm still interested in discussing it.
Go for it.
We don't have time today.
Can I make?
Point of order, we can extend the session, the approval of the committee. Is there any objection to extending another 10 minutes? No objection, we extend another 10 minutes. Go ahead, discussion.
So I guess it's just been so long since we've seen anything about the sobering center and the contract and the services. I mean, I would like to revisit that. I mean, Jim knows I want a sobering center, but I think that a lot has elapsed since the last time we talked about it. So I would suggest having another peek at what the suggested contract was with Franklin County, so that we can say, yeah, we agree that we should move ahead with that. Because there's things like what you said, like 1 year, temporary for 1 year. I continue to believe that we may need it beyond that. So.
Year at a time.
Right, with some metrics, some outcome metrics and things that, you know, expectations around.
It sounds to me like the substance of the motion is a reaffirmation to say this still matters. I mean, it's not us making a recommendation against a certain plan or a certain contract. It's us saying, you guys, this still matters. Hey, anybody who's holding the ball in Franklin County, we still want this. We think, like, so
yeah.
Drop the ball or pass it on. To me, that's the heart of the motion. I hear you about the details.
Second the motion. I just think there's a lot.
Well, and we can pass it to our commissioners that there's going to be discussion, further discussion next week, but we are still for a temporary sober.
Well, we have only 16 months now for the opening of the recovery center, I would point out, so that as time goes by, it comes less and less reasonable.
So I appreciate Brandon, December of 25, especially adding on all this.
Yeah, and it can, and then suppose a new contract is formulated in the next 4 months, then there's 1 year. I'm not, in my view, it's not worth it to establish a broader organization.
What I think is worth a conversation if we're talking about betterments. I think everyone in this agreement that we need is what we need these services. Is there a discussion to be had if you know, with developing a contract, getting something in place, getting building renovations, if that's going to be $1 million, do we want to, and maybe just have a conversation about, is it good to focus the $1 million on that or maybe some of the betterments with regard to the final facility? I think maybe at least having a conversation about that's probably a bad thing.
Well, a temporary sober is going to transform translate it to a 23 and a half hour proceeding. So that's what it's going to, that's what it's going to migrate. The question is, what do you do now and all the way?
Sure.
Right. And the vote wasn't back then 100%. Yeah, let's do a sober incentive. We went through the RFP process. It's the only one that basically bubbled to the top was Boards. And, you know, they started doing their thing. You know, I said, well, hey, it's going to be a little bit more. This is why. I'll just be blatantly honest. The city of Pasco doesn't want a sober incentive Cadillac because, or Our Lady Lourdes, because they feel like they've been dumped on enough with homelessness, et cetera, et cetera. But like I told the chief, like, you missed something over the last 30 years when you were pushing a patrol car around. You've always had this problem.
They're there.
Yeah. And so we were going through that process. And when we went through the process, to be quite honest with you, Kennewick had a fit. They didn't want to have it down at the old Tri-City Herald building. Thing that popped up was, you know, whatever.
It wasn't so correct.
They went to the wayside. And, now we're to Pasco. Pasco saying, oh, you got to go through this permitting process. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, we shut down. We shut down the center of the world. The cops could take people that needed to sober up and try to figure out how to put them into service. And we still need that. And we still sit down and tell them where it's at, how it gets to where it's at.
Okay. So in terms of the vote for reaffirming, we've since our initial approval of motion, we've received reports of increase in how much it's going to cost. The timeframe of starting it has come and gone. So reaffirming it is appropriate at this point to say that we as a committee would continue to
take the time to look at the number.
Correct.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
I think that's my comment. Just conceptually, yes, I think we still absolutely need it. But a more developed budget and a more better concrete plan on when exactly it's going to delivered for services there.
Yes.
If it's appropriate, I just might add some clarity because I was at the commission meeting when Lourdes presented the funding. And what was presented was that the request for funding was anywhere from 500,000 to a little over a million, depending on the level of operational costs.
Correct.
Had nothing to do with construction or anything like that. All the funding was for operational costs. Lourdes was footing the bill for the actual renovation of the facility to get it ready to receive patients. And I sense with the meeting with the city of Pasco is that there's permitting and all those things now have to go into play in order for the next step to occur. And that once that occurs, then they will go back to Franklin County and say, will you fund this at whatever level? So
yes.
I hope that adds clarity.
Except for that, come back into the end Franklin County.
I think that, I wouldn't want to presume on how to run Lourdes, but if I was in their shoes, I would want some guarantees before I took too many steps down this pathway. So thank you.
But I think that meeting with the city is to start the permitting process and all those
correct
things. So when I share a concern, that takes time, and you know, by the time the sober center is open, it's just going to be temporary. It might not serve for that long.
But I understand
the need is certainly there.
So, I understand the sentiment of not spending the money, and this is just my opinion. It's not the chair's position. If I can do that way, you know, if $1 million saves a person's life in the next 12 months, it's worth it.
Yeah, the patients need it.
So,
but that's for further discussion.
Yes. Anyway, any other discussion on reaffirming?
So we are reaffirming to continue the discussion about it.
Reaffirming our original motion to pursue a temporary sobering center in Pasco adjacent to the courthouse.
Actually, the move did the dead ears off. All right, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, Republic, you have one more opportunity to address the committee. If you have anything that you would like to share with us, this is your opportunity to do so.
Just say thank you for everything this committee has done, especially today. I think it's been a great day of making some real progress. Appreciate everything. As John has mentioned, rubber is starting to meet the road with this center that is so locally needed. Good to see some real traction and move in a direction. I'm hopeful that that collaboration will come about with both sides of the group. So,
yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments?
BJ, I'd like to make one motion that gets conveyed to both sets of commissioners on both sides, that we make a formal recommendation that they meet for another joint commissioners meeting. I know things are messy over there and it just is what it is, but I think the motion needs to be made, needs to be conveyed to both sides, that everybody needs to reconvene and that they need to reaffirm that they're both still working, both sets of commissioners are still working on this for the greater good.
A second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Is that going to come across as a request to the Pike County Commissioners?
Well, we can't demand it. No. It's not in our charter.
Does that information flow to the commissioners?
Oh, we'll gladly.
I'm happy to present that to them as a recommendation from the committee. So, at least on the Benton County side.
Thank you, Matt.
And look, two of them aren't getting anything that's going on. It is an informational flow problem. You know how it is when you have a lot.
Yeah. Well, at least it's on.
Yep.
Yes. All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other business?
Other business, yes.
We have a couple announcements.
Okay.
Oh, Matt, were you going to say something?
I was going to say something, and you're not going to like it, Mr. Chairman, but reviewing the bylaws, it says that we appoint a new chair the first meeting of each calendar month. So you're stuck with it for the next 6 months. Each calendar year, sorry.
Is it calendar year or?
Nope, it's a calendar year. I double checked because I'm like, I think you were right, and then I read it and I said, nope, he's wrong. It's not until January. So
your beard's not gray enough yet.
Lords has a save the date ribbon cutting reception to rename Lords Counseling Center to Lords Vehicle Hall, and you have some handouts to give us. It's Thursday, August 1st, and so. I just encourage you to do that. That's a exciting time.
Yeah.
50 years. Yes. 50 years. Yeah. And you have.
And yeah, the Recovery Coalition is having its annual 5K Road to Recovery in September. And we always have a lot of fun. We have a lot of officials there, a lot of family fun. It's not highly competitive, it's just fun. And it does raise money for the Recovery Center. So I would like to send this to everybody, and you can form a team. Any group can form a team, 5 people or more. You can discount. Also, you can sponsor us from $100 to $2,500 with various benefits. So I'll send these things out.
And you can actually go and not run at all and still have fun.
So
that's kind of my approach.
It's kind of fun. Yeah.
No objection, we adjourn.
Right.